coming to the center
is doing presentation somewhere and should be late. And we have agreed with Honorable Mokgwebi that COGTA can start with their presentation. And without any waste of time, I'll hand over to Honorable Mokgwebi.
Comrade, it's a real corporate governance. All right, welcome, Comrade Matthew. We haven't started anything. You are as heavy as us. All right, honorable members, you know that there is a directive that Monday and Tuesday committee should be planning their work, the annual work, and we met with the House Chair, who further elaborated the context as to why Monday and Tuesday. So we as COGTA and security met at the management level and agreed that we'll take our work on Tuesday, precisely because on Monday some of our colleagues were committed in their various provinces and we have to do it today. And at the management level, we agree that there should be some form of presentation. I believe that our officials are ready for that. I won't waste any time. I will then allow our officials to make a presentation for COGTA, and we'll look into that. Basically, still, it might be, if I can finish the remarks. Usually, when you are in the remarks, it's not. Thank you. Usually, that thing is lost. Yeah, we are there. And our approach was that. Security will start first, but now they say we need to start and then we need to be ready to engage on what they are presenting. It will remain a draft until that time. If it is refined, whatever, then we would adopt it as a committee thing. I think what we'll be doing today is to legitimize the process that it went through this, and we make additions where we can, or we extract anything that we feel is not appropriate for our committees. Thank you very much, Comrade Matthew.
No, Chair, I was just saying maybe it would be important for us to officially deal with the apologies so that it's recorded properly.
I think usually after opening, always that, but in our agenda, our agenda of parliament, I've never seen that type of it. We just see agenda item, no closure, no opening. But we need to record the apologies. It's important. Okay, can we deal with that apology?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, from COGTA, we received apologies from all the opposition party, IED, DA, IFP, and COGTA.
There we are. Didn't we emphasize written apologies? We emphasized that, but we did not receive anything written.
When we received from Mr. Honorable Bloom, the rest I received verbally.
There we are. Can we express a view if we, do we accept and proceed?
Now that we don't even know what the reasons are, I don't think it would be proper for us to accept those apologies.
Sorry?
Oh, is there a written one for Bloom? Yeah, maybe accept that one from Member Bloom because it's written. Yes.
And one from Honorable Taylor.
Okay, let's say all written apologies are accepted and verbal ones are not accepted, though they are heard. Is there anything? Can we proceed? Okay, we can proceed to whoever dealing with that from the management.
Good morning, honorable members. The approach is called, we prepared a presentation, and also we have a discussion document in our disposal. This is our presentation outline. Firstly, it will cover an introduction and the purpose and the objective of this gathering. Further on, it will deal with the differences between the strategic and operational plan. It will indicate and emphasize the legislative powers of the committee. And also, it will provide the strategic priorities of COOCTA and the DPSA, the two departments, the one that the committee do mainly oversight on. And also, we want to also be dealing with the major highlights of this current new financial year operational plans of both departments, what they will be doing or focusing on during this current financial year. And from that background then, it will be proper then for us to deal with the strategic priorities of this committee as well as its operational plan. That is, the strategic priorities of the committee in terms of last year until 2014, which is the current mandate of the current parliament, and also what will this committee be focusing on during this financial year. I thought also it would be proper that we also, provide some highlights of the state of the national address on issues that are more applicable to this committee. And further on, we provide some guidelines on how we, for example, will be providing strategic monitoring as well as oversight of the department's operational plans in terms of the budget vote as well as the strategic plans of the department. And lastly, our presentation will cover aspects on building partnerships and collaboration with the stakeholders that are linked to this committee. For this committee to make a significant impact, like, we need a plan and implement an oversight. And we need a plan, and also our implementation of oversight should be systematically. And then to do this, we thought it must have a strategy plan and operational oversight agenda for its work. This document will provide as a guiding tool that will be used to serve the committee in terms of its overall oversight responsibility. Also, the strategic plan provides a conceptual analysis which is infused from the NCOP strategic plan. You'll remember last year the NCOP hosted the strategic plan of the NCOP for the current mandate of parliament from last year until 2014. What is also important is a saying that goes that if you are failing to plan, then you are planning to fail. So the purpose of this gathering, again, is very important for our operation this current financial year. The purpose and objectives of this gathering is to provide a guidance on the political mandate of the committee over the next 5 years. It's to highlight and indicate the departmental policies, instruments for monitoring by the committee during this current financial year. Again, I've noted that there were some confusion between the concept strategic versus operational plan. A strategic plan is a process for determining where an organization is going over the next year or more. Typically, the 3 and 5 year long-term approach that has been adopted by the government to say what is the vision of the current government. And then an operational plan is a description of the work that will be done
for example, this year, what are the specifics in terms of the broader plan that we, as this committee, will be doing for this current financial year. Therefore, an operational plan is the basis for and the justification of an annual operational budget request. Therefore, this page also emphasizes again the legislative powers of the committee. Why the purpose is based on, we thought when we outlined what this committee needs to be doing during the financial year, it will be important to empower the committee to, in terms of an orientation of its powers and mandate. The committee is vested, the powers of the committee is vested with power to perform its oversight rest on Section 69 of the Constitution, which details that we need the committee can summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce documents. Or also, it has the power to require any institution or person to report to it. And thirdly, it has the right to compel, in terms of national legislation or the rules and orders, any person or institution to comply with a summons or requirements in terms of paragraph A or B. The committee has power to receive petition, representation or submission from any interested person or institution. Starting from one of the departments that this committee is providing oversight with, which is the Department of COFTA. COFTA's broad strategic priorities or focus for the current financial year, 5 years, starting from last year until 2014, their main focus will be on building the developmental state in provincial and local government that is efficient, effective, and responsive. The second strategic priority will be to strengthen accountability and clear governance. For example, with the issue of Operation Clean Audit. Thirdly, they want to accelerate service delivery and supporting the vulnerable groups. Fourthly, they want to improve the developmental capability of the institutional traditional leadership. And lastly, they will be fostering the development partnership, social cohesion, and community mobilization. And then DPSA, which is the second department that this committee is providing oversight, has around 9 or 10, strategic priorities for the next 5 years. The first one is on service delivery mechanism that will ensure quality and access within an efficient environment. Secondly, they aim to provide effective systems, structures, and processes, which includes the provision of standard operating procedures. Thirdly, they aim for a well-functioning service through ICT connectivity and service delivery centers, like Pusong centers. And then fourthly, is the effective entry into the public service through human resource development standards to ensure cater development. I think they are responding to that political cater development, which has not been properly, as they claim, aligned. There's also, fourthly, the issue about the efficient human resource management practices by providing common norms and standards, the issue about health, safety, working environments. They will also be focusing on the appropriate delegations and decision-making government. The other part is on adequate level of transparency of administrative action by ensuring citizen engagement and public participation. The second last, strategic priority deals with the issue of corruption, which they aim which they envisage to tackle effectively. For example, through this year, there's that implementation of the anti-corruption unit. Which is a strategic priority of the PPSA with the collaboration towards improved public administration in Africa and internationally. This slide, is a zoom in to say from what COFTA aim to achieve in the next 5 years, what will they be focusing during this financial year? And then from COFTA's operational plan, it is characterized by a few new programs and policy instruments in addition to what COFTA is doing. These include the establishment of a special purpose vehicle to accelerate the provision of infrastructure, which is MIG. The special purpose vehicle is a project-based approach that that involves specialties, which is accountant engineers, to rapidly respond to infrastructure challenges. The second highlight of their operational plan for this year is the redirection of infrastructure component of Siamanje to the department, and then the rest goes to National Treasury. The purpose of redirection of the infrastructure component of Siamanje is linked to the special purpose vehicle. And then thirdly, in terms of what they will be doing this year, there's a new grant to assist with disaster relief and rehabilitation. I think this one emanates from the lesson that came out from disasters that has happened. It has been felt that departments and provinces have that they don't plan sufficiently for disaster relief. Hence, they thought, this relief destabilized municipal budget. So there's a need of a grant that would assist with relief and rehabilitation. And then lastly, they, in addition to what the other priorities of the COP that they will be establishing, is the establishment of provincial offices across the country. It should be remembered, with this new current administration, there's a re-emphasis on provinces to do provincial oversight across the country. And then with DPSA, what the major highlights of what they will be doing during this financial year, they will be leading the process to finalize the debate on the single public service. I think members will recall in our previous engagement with the department that they gave us a process map on the issues that they will be doing each month that will serve towards the finalization of this bill. And then also what the department will be doing during the financial year is the creation of the anti-corruption unit that will serve to coordinate all corruption-related cases within the public service. Thirdly, the issues about the development of a strategy to reduce the period it takes to fill a vacancy. This point was also emphasized by the president to say these vacant positions in government should be filled as a matter of urgency. And this is part of the priority to fill all the vacancies within the public service within the time frame. Fourthly is the finalizing the implementation of the OSD, which has been a point of contention in the previous year. And then also the department will be implementing an e-government prototype and ICT connectivity of Tusong centers, schools, and clinics for integrated communication, their overall integrated communication strategy. Lastly, they will be developing and implementing a sustainable methodology to monitor compliance with the signing of performance agreements across the state departments. From this slide, from that background of both departments with their focuses and their strategic priorities, then it forms a logic then for us to move forward and develop our own strategic priority. I think there's also another discussion document that on page 4 of it, page 5, which is linked with this page. If members can go to page 5 or the discussion document, where there's that table. Yeah, this is, in essence, our strategic priorities of the committee for the next 5 years in terms of what will be the strategic objective, the intended goal, how will we be measured, and the issue about the accounting responsibilities and the time frame. And then this approach, how we have structured it, is based on the SMART principle, which means the objectives, the measurable objectives are specific, they are measurable, they are appropriate, they are realistic, and they are time-bound. Number one, what the committee will be doing is to process, in terms of strategic objective, is the processing of and scrutinizing and passing of legislation. The goal, I mean, is to strengthen current policies and legislation across the three spheres of government for cooperative governance and the implementation of service delivery. And then how we aim to be measured, it is through the passing of the legislation, which could be amended or not amended, and how the legislation therefore will be tabled in the form of a report to the House. And then the other slide is on committee, and the responsibility will be this committee, which is supported by us. And then the time frame is ongoing based on when the legislation is referred to us. But again, I mean, to save time, I'll just indicate the strategic objective and the intended goal. Our second strategic objective is to scrutinize and oversee the executive action, the goal being to entrench a culture of public accountability in order to improve service delivery. Thirdly, which is the strategic objective, is to facilitate public participation in the committee's processes. The goal being to improve and enhance public participation in governance, since it is the cornerstone of effective and accountable government. I think this is what we are also currently doing, for example, with the issue of how we approach Section 139 through public hearings. And then fourthly, the strategic objective of this committee is to consider the international agreements referred to it, the goal being to support government international relations obligation in order to establish partnership and draw lessons that will enhance the work of the committee. With this intended goal, we anticipate to undertake two study tours during the five-year term of the fourth parliament. One study visit being envisaged to be undertaken around June. Lastly, strategic objective is to consider budget votes of the department. The goal being to ensure that the departments are adequately funded and able to fulfill their constitutional mandate. If we focus now on the presentation on page 12, which deals on the operational plan of the committee, on the how part of the strategic objective. One of them is to ensure that intergovernmental checks and balances with regard to legislative and constitutional compliance. That one we do it normally through Section 139. And then also what we will be doing this year is the issue about the joint oversight visits to identify municipalities to ensure that the committee functions systematically and not merely responding to crisis. Thirdly, we want to contribute to the meaningfully to the quest of creating decent jobs. The intended goal is the monitoring of the department's actual contribution, especially in filling vacant positions by departments. We refer to the Department of COGTA as well as the Department of Public Service and Administration. How we will be doing that is we'll be analyzing and scrutinizing the department's annual and quarterly performance report to ensure that those targets that they will be outlining during their budget vote in terms of job creation have been achieved quarterly as they have outlined in their strategic plans. And also we'll be analyzing their provincial reports and briefings to ensure that provinces and municipalities put in place necessary conditions for more jobs to be created utilizing the MIG grant. And then the responsibilities will be, the COOPTA, the PSA, as well as the Department of Public Works. And lastly, one of our main strategic objectives is the implementation of intergovernmental programs of support to the institution of traditional leadership to perform their constitutional mandate. And then the intended goal is to restore the dignity of traditional leadership and to perform its institutions in order to play their statutory role in the reconstruction and development of South Africa in partnership with government. How are we going to be monitoring this goal is through the departmental support and capacity building program to the institutions provided to the institutions of traditional leadership. And if we also focus on this current slide, which deals up with building partnership and collaboration, we thought as the committee responsible to enhance the values of cooperative governance, there's a need to enhance and forge strategic relations and partnership with the following partners. One of them is the South African Local Government Association, SALGA, the Financial and Fiscal Commission, the Office of the Auditor General, Public Administration Leadership and Management Academy, which is PALAMA, and the Developmental Bank of South Africa. And then in addition also, there's one of our critical stakeholders, which is a partnership with the National House of Traditional Leadership. We have already established partnership with some of these entities, and then we aim to enhance this relationship. For example, last year, if members can recall, for example, we had a meeting with the Financial Fiscal Commission when they briefly oriented the committee in terms of their broad legislative mandate. And then we, together with them currently, there's a planned workshop on that we are discussing, that they will be coming to give a briefing to the committee in terms of the recommendation that the commission have made in terms of the division of revenue, specifically on local government-related issues. And then also members also could note, in some of our regular meetings now, we have officials of the Auditor General. And then on the issue of PALAMA, for example, the department outlined the programs that they will be conducting this year. For example, there's a new executive leadership management program for local government. The PALAMA later during the financial year will be coming to praise the committee on that management certificate that they will be doing for local government. So we thought these partnerships are very crucial, that they need to be enhanced and then and developed. I think that is the end of our presentation. And then I just also wish to emphasize that strategic plans and operational plans, they are flexible because they should adapt and adjust through time, because as the year progresses, new priorities will kick in, a revision will be necessary. And the chair has already outlined that it's a working, a work in progress document, so that we are flexible for any innovation that may come in based on the demand of the data. I thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, colleagues. That is the presentation. Can we speak to the presentation? There's panel B2, we can panel B10. What? Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, I think I welcome the presentation. I think the only issue I see not being looked at here is entities of both departments. You know, I'm not sure as to how are we going to monitor them. You know, what role are they playing to the contribution of jobs and all those things in terms of, well, the main aim is to make sure that we are able to can monitor those institutions. You know, I know we're talking to about the department broadly, but in a way, how do we deal with that situation?
Then the issue, Honorable Louis.
Thank you, Chair. I also welcome the work that went into it made it a bit easier for us, Chair. I was wondering how we would come up with this strength pain in such a short period of time. But Chair, we're talking of the we're talking of visits. And I think the focus, Chair, that for having experienced and taking cognizance of the predictions of the doomsayers, Chair, we do need to as part of the strategic focus, look into the issues that has that do arise from the this ending term of the local government, which is your protest, whatever you call it, service delivery, whatever it is. They chair that would have to play a strategic monitoring role in terms of how the ward councils are being set up, and get we need to get for our strategic oversight, they get the department to commit to report on progress on this matter. An emphasis, Chair, also to make on the absence, and I'm still talking on the issues that are sometimes raised with these protests. The issue of the service delivery in relation to the vulnerable groups. I know the department in this term has been trying to establish the chief direct, I mean the directorate, and they've elevated it to a chief directorate. But Chair, it is important that now finally we are able to talk on a uniform kind of, or a standard on the indigenous policy, because it doesn't exist, Chair. It's something that we, for our strategic monitoring, I mean for monitoring, is a strategic focus matter, the indigenous policy, that it must exist with the municipalities. The third aspect, Chair, with this unemployment and decent jobs and employment creation, I think we do need now to pay particular attention to the LEDs. I'm not too sure if they've been effective in the history of local government. I'm not too sure. I know we are now creating special vehicle purposes for infrastructure rollout, but they should talk to somehow. We need to strategically look into that, if we could raise that as part of our strategic intent as well as these LEDs, because they then become strategic to facilitate and coordinate matters of economic development, and I guess that would be together with the SPVs that are intended to be established. But Chair, besides the, I know there's in the slides there's also a mentioning of our work in terms of the oversight now not linked and be directed by our response to Section 139. But Chair, that we also need to look into now that what capacitation, because in anticipation, Chair, in anticipation of the turnover in the local government, what would be our strategic, and I'm talking to that section on strategic partnership. I know we are saying SALGA, but normally when you speak SALGA, you generally talk to the leadership of SALGA as an organization, not to municipalities per se. To say, Chair, there would be new councillors, a turnover, I'm sure it's going to be more than 70% in general, I guess, Chair. We're already getting indications, for instance, from political parties saying that this time around their lists are dominated by women. That already indicates as an indicator, Chair, that there would be a real turnover on new councillors. To say, Chair, so that we are able to assist and be part of that, the process of helping them to build the capacity. So I think, Chair, together with the department, we need to agree on some of these things. Perhaps kind of agreements with the memorandum of agreements, relationship and working relationships with municipalities when it comes to issues of capacity, making sure that even SALGA, Chair, we're making sure that we know what we are doing. We are a partnership with SALGA in what? Because I know they are charged with capacitating the Ender department, capacitating the municipalities, but let's agree together that we are able to monitor that there are programs of capacitating the new councillors. Really, there is a map or there is a plan and a proper process that we could also look at and monitor. Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also take the opportunity and welcome the presentation. Chair, I concur with Honorable Zimande about the work of the committee where there has been interventions. But at the same time, I think our approach should not be crisis-orientated and only go to the municipalities when there is crisis. We have to balance that and identify those municipalities that are performing well and highlight their achievements, and at the same time, that will maybe assist those municipalities that are weak to copy the good that these others are doing. And maybe that will also help to bring stability in our communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Honorable Nancy.
Listening to what members are saying, I thought of a few things that needed to be added on what is being said. I think this is a good document for us and also the input. One, I think if you talk about the participatory democracy and you talk about municipalities at a local level, the reason why today there might be, there are many reasons, but one of the reasons that we can highlight of protest at that level, it is simply because these people in the communities, they see councillors as the people who can do the best for them. But in that process, they see them as the people who are failing them and who are supposed to have done things for them. And if you look at some of these and even their grievances, most of these councils don't have capacity to deliver what the people are expecting from them. And then you ask yourself, what is the issue? Why do the people have to look at councils and see councils as threats, not people who can assist them now? Why should they think that it is important to protest against them? I'm telling you, I was debating with other fellow South Africans, saying to them, the next 10, 15 years to come, you are going to see more violent protests than what we are seeing. And councillors are going to be victims because they are going to be killed by the communities. They are vulnerable to them. They are close to them. We emphasize that every time when the councillor is elected, he must not move out of the ward where he's elected. He must stay there with his people. And then you find that maybe some of us already, we have moved out of those places, we are staying elsewhere where we think we might stay. But the issue is, I think we are not the department. In fact, what we need to focus and see in their plan, and also on our side when we are assisting. In terms of, I thought we said we're going to emphasize on Section 154 these years. That at least if you talk about participatory democracy, look at capacitating the ward committees. Capacitating the ward committees such that the communities themselves are participating in the formulation process of IDPs, so that they know exactly what are the priorities in the IDPs. At present, the IDPs to the communities are presented by the consultants. They come up with priorities. They give them the priority. And when the communities are frustrated, They just look at what they want. For instance, in the IDPs, if you talk about the IDPs, in our IDPs, you wouldn't see anything that is talking about creation of decent laws. There's nothing like that. But if you engage people in a participatory democracy, as you're supposed to be promoting it through these local municipalities, our people, the communities, must be there, participate, formulate the priorities and the ITPs. And when there are failures, the ward committees are there and the councillors to explain why they can't achieve. And somehow, you'll find that the majority of the members of the committee will be able to understand when there are failures, where do these failures emanate from. I think that is very important that we discuss that with the department and see how strategically the department includes the training, empowering and of the ward committees, so that the ward committees themselves can ensure that they empower the communities, so that the communities can understand exactly what is going on. I think another thing which is very, very critical that I think is a problem that we need to address together with the department, the issue of economic development. Louis was saying, Honorable Louis, talking about LEDs. I think in that direction, if you talk about economic development, I was wondering, talking about with some comrades in Qatar last week, I was saying over the past years that we've been participating in Qatar, I've never seen any economic document at a local level, at the district level, either from the political organization, the ANC, DA, all these political organizations, but a document that is addressing the economic situation of our people. What is it? What are the resources? What is there? What is it that can be exploited by these municipalities so that we ensure that the people, they are economic active? They are, we ensure that they participate in the economy. There's nothing of that nature. At the national level, we're talking about the new economic growth path. Yeah, I think there's a document. At the district, at the local level, there's nothing of that nature. I was saying to these citizens, you look at Kakadu, you might have about 7 sub-regions. Each sub-region, there are things that can be used for economic development. We can't research. There's Rhodes University. There are many universities around. We don't exploit them as municipalities at that level or the Department of Culture to ensure that we identify these things that are there in front of them. And the government, at the provincial and national level, can therefore intervene by assisting, by providing resources. This person is strong a little bit for me. So I was saying, not off as such a person, but it's strong. I think it's correct because it's a little bit off. Yeah, it's this guy. This guy is in a mystic kill. So I think the person, if so my argument to the person is that at least if we can encourage that the municipalities at that level begin, when we talk about the local economic development, it should be something that is properly researched, and because if you go to the strategy and tactics of the ANC, which is the ruling party, we're talking about the mixed economy there, and we're talking about cooperatives created by government, assisted by government, monitored and empowered by government so that the communities can actively participate. Chairperson, there's no reason. There's no reason at all that South Africans at the moment also are talking. There are South Africans that are hungry whilst there are such resources in this country. There is no apparent reason. It is us, it is at the municipal level, that people and the departments are not assisting, empowering, and ensuring that they avail the necessary resources to ensure that the people are able to turn the economic situation so that these violent protests, they won't end at all. Because the only salvation that people have, are seeing is to be deployed to the council. Then he will be better because he will be able to build a house and have a car. If you're talking about the tenders and PEs, those things are only for very few people. But once you talk about cooperatives that people can use and they can be owned by the state at a local level, by the municipalities, own them on behalf of the people so that the people can benefit, then you can find changes. The person, once I'm raising those things, I think we can be assisted because we have seen someone, even if some of these things have failed, in other areas, or even in our situation in South Africa, because there are things that we are trying. Even if they are not moving forward as we want, some of the reasons that these things might not be moving forward are man-made, and they need us so that we can be there and assist. We need, the support. I think the support is the issue. At the local government, by the provincial government, and the national government, monitoring the implementation of this policy. I'm trying to say, Chairperson, in a nutshell on this thing, the economic transformation is very, very key. It's very, very key to this transformation and in order to change the plight of the people. Otherwise, if, as this committee, we cannot put pressure on the department to ensure that at least they empower these municipalities to follow when you talk about the LED. Thank you, Chairperson. The reason why I'm so strongly believing in this, because I'm asking myself a question. Everybody's saying the IDP, their community-based planning. That's what everybody's saying. But why should people after 2-3 years rebel against their thing that they've planned up, that if it was planned by themselves, why should they rebel against it? Why should they demand service delivery? But they were given the opportunity to say, put down what is it that you want, what are your priorities, if they are given such opportunities. First, my belief is that the way the IDPs are being done at the moment is not assisting the members of the community so that they can see themselves as participating in this democratic process. Thank you, Sir.
Thank you very much for the input. Is there any other input before we can consolidate? Braloui?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chair. I think, Chair, we do need to beef up in relation to the DPSA in terms of what our role would be. I know there is the Parliament has to have a say, Chair. There is a bullet around Africa and international that in that area, Chair. We have a clear tool that we have subjected ourselves, which is the APRM. I think, Chair, we do need, for instance, we don't know the process of this new PRM was closed now in January. We are not we're not sure what is included there. It is a tool that we are using, and that's a tool also that almost civil society participate, and it's an African Union tool, so it helps us to look into our own way of doing and providing services. So it's an accountability document. We need to raise it, I think, Chair, as a committee, as one of our strategic performance area for monitoring and evaluating performance, because what it does really, it looks into how as a country and government participate in the development of our own self, the people and everything that lives in this country. And we are able to take it either as a best practice or for self-criticism, you know, to Africa. So it's quite very strategic for us to pay particular attention to that. And then, Chair, Chairperson, I hope in our strategic in that area with the of strategic partnership with SAGA and others in local government. You see, we need to also participate in directing the communities properly, because we are saying councillors they are the ones who deliver. Maybe it's politically correct for a councillor to say it in his people, but that's not the reality, because the councillor is only facilitating that development takes place, and they would, as the Honourable Nessie is saying, Chair, they would always face this wrath of the people, because the impression is created that a councillor, you know, whether a ward councillor or the other ones, and when you look at, and I'm talking to this single service thing, Chair, why I'm raising this point, because you see the municipality, some municipalities. Probably the not the highly resourced municipalities which have your thousands of staff. You expect an Alfred and Zoe municipality to deliver water, houses, and they only employ 50 people or 100 people, and they don't even have general workers or something like that. So I'm saying then. We need to be able to work out a plan and discussion with the communities that talks to the capacities, and it's the municipality only as it stands now, Chair, only creates the process, the mechanisms of service delivery to take place, but the actual transaction sometimes is not done by the municipalities. It's an outsource. If it's taken a housing project, you know, in Ilembe district, they say they have 50 housing projects. When you look at them, this 49 doesn't exist. It's only one, but on their record, it's 50. Now, why? Because they can't deliver on that. It's only one, a technical director who approves a project and all. So they approach project managing housing delivery. Now we need to look at that, otherwise committees would say, hey, these councillors do not build houses for us and all this, and it's not a councillor. You know, so I'm saying, Chair, in our strategic partnership and in this quest for single service, it would really, we need to really work hard in clarifying this part as to finally, what kind of the cadre, a civil service cadre that is required, that will reside within the municipalities, and that will reside within the departments? I think because that's quite ambiguous in terms of where is supposed to be the bulk of your servants to do the work. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Is there any other thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this thing of
I was saying Brahmi cancer.
Oh yeah, I know.
So far.
It's far. Chairperson, on this thing of static hall, I need maybe to be a little bit empowered by the committee, because I've been wondering, what is it that we're doing in Europe? Because every time when we are touring, we are going to Europe, what is it that we are doing in Europe? Have these people been colonized? And they got out of colonization and they maneuvered themselves to develop and be developed state as they are called today? Or what is it that we are learning there which we can take back here? And the reason why I've been asking myself these things is because we went somewhere in Sweden, I was in the legislature, to learn about that, what best practice on many, many things, disability and everything. And when we got there, we saw everything. We came back, we developed the report and everything. But what I was saying to everybody was that, look here, the problem with what we have seen is that we won't be able to do it because we don't have the resources that those people have. We can't match them. But why don't we go to Uganda and learn and see how Ugandans managed to drop the levels of HIV and AIDS? How did they do? Because they don't have resources. Why don't we go to those people? And then I thought that maybe I understand that South Africans think that they are somewhere in the middle between the developed and the underdeveloped things. I think so. I need to be convinced if they are the bad. My point is that maybe members of the committee might empower me here in this meeting. It might empower me so that I can understand really why should we go there. I'm not saying we need not to go, we need to. But why should we go there? Why can't we learn? For instance, if you are talking about what committees here in South Africa, in Cuba, they will tell you about something else. But they had structures. Those structures which were feeding to government, which they were feeding to the community, there was a communication, a network, which we had the same network when you talk about the M-Plan in our situation in South Africa, through committees and everything, that you can translate some of those things into what committees, because they are, they're supposed to be the network that will assist government in looking and seeing. We might have seen these protests far before they should have been here, if we had very strong networks. So, Chairperson, my question is based on those things. That why don't we look at these underdeveloped or developing countries, go and learn from them, understanding where we are, where we're supposed to be, where we're coming from, and also learn from them. We might be able to improve some of these things. When you talk about cooperatives in Africa, in Kenya, Ujamaa and everything, if you go and understand what happened, why Ujamaa failed, what is it that we can do better? Because if you are going to go to Sweden and learn in Sweden, for instance, in Sweden, when we're there, what they do, the department is getting the money. When they got the money, the budget from the state, what they do, they give the money to an agent that will run things for the disabled person. And that agent will account to that department. So the department is not doing anything like ours as they are doing here. But they give money. They give money to these programs and projects. They have enough money to do so. In our case, we don't have. And they've got people, they've got quality people who are well-trained, who understand, and their budgets are properly managed because their people are properly and they are well-trained. So my point, is not to dwell too much. My point is simple. If the committee can also show me this part that I'm beginning to question, what is it that we want in Europe? I know there's a lot that we want, but why should we continue instead of learning from these countries which have experienced the same situation that we have experienced? Thank you, Sir President.
Thank you very much. Committee, can you explain to me what you want in Europe?
I'm not talking about Europe, but I think there's a mixture between developed and underdeveloped and developing countries. And in terms of what this committee wanted to do was to go to a developing country and a developed country so that you can compare the two and see what is it that you can learn out of that. And that was my understanding. That is why Europe and developing countries around South America and all those places, including Africa. Sure, thank you.
All right. That is the answer. It's not the answer of the committee. trying to elaborate why we want to go to Europe. In fact, we want to increase our wages. I'm playing. But I think,
I'm just want to add this, to say I'm in agreement with Honorable Nelson. Emerging trend, for example, even in Ghana, for example, whereby portfolio committees, parliamentary committees have been given, for example, powers of the High Court when the executive comes to brief, parliament, parliamentary committees, and they are found to have been misleading the committees. Police, which normally sits in those committees, can immediately arrest, the officials. But I'm saying that there are other, lessons, but I think the question is about, in this country, we share traits of a developing and developing country. That's why sometimes you are caught in that middle of going back or going forward in terms of best practices. And yeah. Then, to add more on our business, a strategic plan, and the issue that has been indicated, for example, about LEDs, and other contributions that have been made, we take note of that as a focal point in terms of the quest of creating this decent job. Because in essence, LEDs, the local economic development are supposed to create local jobs in terms of entrepreneurship, PE, and cooperatives. But again, the lessons that have been coming out is that the content of our LEDs strategies are not mainly focused towards creating local jobs. For example, what municipalities are doing, they are funding car washes and soup kitchens, which will never attract, investment in those local, authorities. And then the issue again about SALGA, the committee will recall that in our oversight responsibility, for example, in the issue of Section 139, in many engagements we have been calling SALGA to be part of those, gatherings. As well as we have made a recommendation, for example, on the issue of capacity building. But again, there has been a challenge, regarding SALGA contribution. Hence, one of our slides, the emphasis on collaboration with SALGA is very important. For example, in our preparation for the second term, there's a planned workshop on capacity building, whereby we aim to SALGA to come in brief the committee in terms of the new councillors that will be coming in, what is the plan in place to capacitate municipalities, the new councillors that will be coming in anticipation of their new arrival. And then we also take note on the issue about the service delivery process, which should be one of our strategic objectives. And then the issue also about the entities, department entities, contribution towards creating jobs. And the point about the African peer review mechanism as a tool in monitoring service delivery. And also our operational plan for this year, we have integrated the issue about sharing experiences with municipalities that are performing well. One of our objectives, for example, is a joint oversight visit to those identified municipalities to ensure that the committee functions systematically and not merely responding to crisis. I think the aim is to ensure that, where we find best practices, it should be shared with those municipalities that are struggling. And then the internet visit also is to find out what are the problems in their service delivery obligation in order to strengthen governance and improve public engagement. Of course, we take notes on other inputs that have been made. It will beef up the draft report that we have.
I think colleagues have mentioned a very important critical issues as you are trying to pick them up. They are very important. In particular, how do we position this committee to do proper oversight, to make the department commit itself to what this committee wants, so that we bring change on the ground. I think it's very much important that as we refine the sector, the issues that were raised must be factored in the third place. how do we both build the department and scrutinize the entities? I think that's important. Even though we know some of the entities might not be accountable to us, but they can give us information to strengthen the committees in order to make sure that the department does do its work. The issue that was raised also, the common approach to indigenous police, which is an issue, because it's supposed to be serving the poor of the poorest, but there's no uniform approach in its application. How do we regulate that? How does it, what is the role of the department? Of course, in terms of Section 154 that was raised, that should also be, should come clear as we build that plan. Of course, there's also raised issues of job creation. And at local level, there are so-called LED. It's like LED now is a project. It's no longer something that might grow economy. You know, it shouldn't be a project where you take, for example, like car wash issue. You build a tax rate, you bring car wash, you say this is an LED. It should be really tangible, something that grow economy, well researched by using, you know, surrounding institution, surrounding university. They should be researching for municipalities how they can approach that type of a thing. I think that's one other thing that we need to note, so that the department must give us a clear direction on how do they assist, because it is linked to IDPs. As long as the province and national does not play a role in the IDPs, even though the IDP is community-driven, our IDP will be paralyzed. And there will always be those protests, as Honorable has said. What is it that they're doing in their turnaround strategy? You know, I think that's very much important, that these issues come out here as we meet them. This thing of saldo, I think maybe we need to debate it further, but I think we know it. Can we really say Salga is our strategic partner? I'm not sure, but I'm beginning to have doubts. Because Salga must account to us. We give Salga budget to the department. But if it's a strategic partner, partners are equal. You know? I think we need to review that. They can be a strategic, they must play their role. And they must stop blaming when they are given budget by us. What is it that they are doing? What is their role in the protesting municipalities? What is their role in the Section 139 municipalities? Always our experience has taught us that they don't even understand what is those things. Instead, they will come writing with documents that critique how we approach issues here as parliament and try to defocus us. I think if they are not our strategic partner, they must account to us. They must account to us. We must call them and say, hey, we give you budget. We expect you to be a representative voice of municipality. You must build capacity. In these areas, what did you do? You know? The other issue is their role in the SOP. How do we assist them? Because they may not assist themselves there. You know? How do we assist them to come and claim their place in the SOP? A question of a full-time councillor, of course, it needs other conferences, maybe, of parties elsewhere. But this thing must come out there. Maybe even in our recommendations, as a committee to the SOP, we must emphasize a point that let this thing be debated. That Sarga must claim their full-timeness in the SOP. How do we do that? And begin to debate and consult. And strike them off the road. They are not our partners. They must account for us. That's how one sees it. The question of, but I've raised it, the support that the national and provincial gives, not only to the planning, but also the support. Don't.
You can have that side. Is that one working also? Or you can switch it off. Is it really hot?
That's the thing, I'm right to close, not to be far from that thing.
So I think that's important. The issue of section 152 comes from time to time in many workshops, in many engagements. And it's broad. It's a broad issue. But let's just keep it broad as it is and see how we use it to ensure that the department does do its work. I think comrades raised the issue of cooperatives. It is very important. Indeed, the BEE and the tenders are for few. How do we move beyond to broaden it, to make sure that it covers everyone? The route is cooperative. But it's a song. Every department talks about cooperatives. I've never seen a functional cooperative. Maybe we need to also make sure that as we interact with various departments, especially economic department, jointly with the Select Committee on Economic, can they show us the best practice? So that as we go to municipality, we are able to sell that idea. Because if something is not done, we make it a joint issue because it's not our sole terrain. And see if we can be inside the country. Yeah, inside the country before we go to developed. Right? We are developing country. Before we go to developed, somewhere, I don't know, in Africa. But I'm sure that Africa also learned from us, but we must also learn from them. It should be a dialogical relationship, dialogue. We learn from them, they learn from us, both of us go and learn somewhere. But Nathan, I'm told the model that we're using in South Africa of local government comes from Yemen. And it's like it's a copy. We copied from Germany, we changed here and there to suit our situation. But if that is the case, and Germany is still existing, why did we miss it? If it is best in Germany, and we've taken something that is best there, it is not working here, why did we miss it? Maybe our researchers must also do research there. Make a research and make a presentation. Let's go and see where we can benefit this model. We might find that Germany will charge us of pressure because we take their things and we don't do it as it is, and then it's failing here. You know? We must do some research and guide us. Let's see where we've done wrong and engage the department. And also maybe check seriously with the department. This special vital purpose, what is this thing? You know, I'm afraid, but we are from project control date. It's a special vital itself. We went to find the local government again. There was the manges. There were a lot of things. Senza manges, there are lots of vehicles that has been created ever since 2004. Yeah? Now it's a special vehicle. It talks of engineers, what, and all those things, they were talking of a particular expertise. The department must really come and tell us so that we are able to make follow up on this one. Otherwise, every minister will come with a new vehicle. You know? Everyone will come with a new, and these things might not deliver, but if we're not careful, I think the committee must now be serious. How many vehicles have we changed? I think that's one other thing that we need to make a very, very, very serious focus on that one.
Chairperson, I want to emphasize your point, the one. Why don't we say, there was turnaround started for local government, with the local government, that's the correct way to say, the department is talking with the Andaman. In the Andaman, that is causing something else with me. I didn't mean what we now. What is it that you are doing now? I mean, they need to define this and clean for us in line with service delivery. Because the issue with the department is service delivery to the team community. They must define the, all these terms, and this new one now, I might have lost some. I've seen this term now that you are raising now. What is this? Because if these things are not linked to the life of all, then they are going to confuse us. They must not try too much.
I think we must be serious because we're beginning to get confused. Or they are tenders. What? We must unpack that so that we understand. I think colleagues have raised this very important thing. And the DPSA, really, we must also go deeper. Especially the issue of APRM, African Peer Review. You know, when we came in 2009-2010, when they presented their annual report, APR was there. But ever since that, the APR is lost. Even the time we met them, this issue was not raised. And it's very important for self-criticism so that we enhance our developmental objectives. Especially depending on democracy, it touches many things. Not only what committees, even provincial and national role in our democratic institution. We can also use it to check as to whether constituent office models are working or not. What do they do with the reports from constituencies and all sorts of things? I think this one vital that must be used to track that. On the issue of sexual harassment, that one I think is, I don't know whether it's a reactive oversight. But we need both reactive and proactive oversight. Hence, in one of the meetings, we suggested that, as Mufugeni emphasizes, I think we suggested that this coming program, we must commit the committee to visit all 9 provinces, not Section 139. Section 139 should be a special thing, but we visit all 9 provinces, where we take 2 municipalities, each province. Which means if we can do that, we'll be visiting 18 municipalities. We pick the best, and we pick the struggling. And as we make an emphasis, I think we'll be able to come with a particular thesis of what is happening on the ground. I think that should be the position coming up again. And make sure that the strategic plan captures that approach. All 9 provinces, the best, and the struggling. I don't want to say chronic. And the other thing is that new councillors are coming. It has been raised here. We must be ready for that. If over 70% can be new councillors, we are in a in a mess. We're going to lose the skin. What is the capacity, readiness of the department, and also Savage? In terms of that, like we raised the issue of
the election will be taking place is taking place in the process of budget planning. Are we sure that our councillors are providing service delivery, or they're concentrated on nomination, who's mayor, who's not mayor, I'm in, I'm out? Are we going to have a credible budget? Are we going to have a credible budget? So this is what we've raised to the department, so that it must also be ready for intervention. So these are some of the things that it should be part of the ongoing, because budget should not be an event of end of June. Thereafter, there is this service delivery budget implementation plan. How do we use that to ensure compliance, to make sure that they're bettering the lives out of that tool? These are some of the issues that we need to use. Of course, the economy, the LED we've talked about, the third man, local economy development must be really local economic development. It must be integrated in our economy. It should not be remain a second economy. It's not even a second economy, it's a second project. Because it talks only of projects, not of economy that grows. How do we make sure that the department assists municipalities? There are a lot of mushrooming malls, which to me comes close to economy. But how do we set norms and standards? Because people have been abused by this. While people might be seen to be working, have we set a standard? You know, norms and standards. As this is complete, this is how we want to see job creation. This is how we want to see labor. What and what. As much as possible, the department must intervene in all those things. Because if they were well managed, life would begin to change far better than what it is now. Malls are mushrooming in rural communities, which we welcome. But how do we come in from the economic point of view to make them, to ensure that as the business thrive, economy also grows around that? So these are some of the things that we need to raise.
Chair, you are raising the issue of malls. You know, when casinos were built in many municipalities, one of the agreements was that the municipalities will hold a certain percentage on behalf of the municipalities. The license holders promised that they will create jobs and then give bazaars to students and help develop the communities. I don't know what is happening around that, and how can we ensure that we monitor that and assist the municipalities to hold the casinos to such agreement. Okay.
I think this is the task that we must give to the department. I think they have capacity to see how they also operate in clusters. There is this social cluster, economic cluster, governance cluster. I think they can have a way of ensuring that there's something that is done.
In fact, if you're going to wear this thing, a mind, where are they run? What do they collect on behalf of the people? So that if it does not, the point is, the economy group that is being said instead of them, we can, people are saying the economy is growing. The question is for whom? It can be on this side the economy is growing, on the other hand, poverty is growing. And more people are, unemployment is growing, everything is growing. Why do you think they grow and the same? Because when others are growing, they're supposed to be growing down. So I think this issue of reality, the department means that it's a place that they empower the municipalities outside, the business, the private sector, because that's where it goes to. So they meet the economy that we're talking about, because we're all balancing under the economy. understand what we are doing, the context of better life for all, as politicians, to ensure that the private business is contributing to the creation of the better life for all, exactly what the government is saying, because the member is saying. Because that is not out of context, that is not saying that because this thing are part of the it is the policy of the industry that these things must be done in that part for the benefit of the community. As long as, because we are saying, yes, we support, I understand, Malema is saying 150% of eggs by America. I think you might be right, because that's what we want that for the benefit of the people. I think these are things we are talking about. I think the department must explain so that the people can show where in this municipality is in the country, the royalty, and all these things that were promised, have they been then benefited? And what has happened to that man? It takes us back to the issue of economy. What are the people benefiting from? You talk about the EE, obviously we might see these few, and talk about other things, we might see other people, but what has happened to that? The reason why, I believe, that these people who have promised all these things, when they were given, nobody monitored them, and they didn't give the things back to the community, to the municipalities or government department. Or if they've given them, they've given them to individuals, which our communities are suffering. I think we need to push on the department. As you have said, there might be in terms of clusters. Those clusters at least must give us the privilege to know so that we can explain where are the grants.
I'm sorry to check the one.
Says, you know, you called me to a meeting over this weekend. I've been raising things around this thing of economy.
Yeah.
Where I've been to, because our community is weird and weird. As a party, if you listen to this thing, you know, this radio was down at night. If you listen to that radio, I'm telling you, you wouldn't laugh the way they talk of members of parliament. And you get worried that, hey, I was listening to another song this morning, they are singing the whole night. They're singing that they voted for you, you went to parliament, now you are a town man in parliament, you're doing nothing for them. That's what they are saying. I mean, these people who are renting. And also these people in Goldstar, I mean, listen to them, what they are saying when they talk about members of parliament. And when you realize that, really, what they are saying might be true because we don't follow up on what we're promised and things that are there. We might be following up, but the department are not telling us. We are supposed to hand on following this thing. So hence we need to put pressure on them. Thanks, Kevin.
No, thank you for that. I think we are done. It seems that we are still coming to refine the plan. I'm afraid we're eating Gashim's time. But I think the engagement is very, very, you know, benefiting. It's like we are in a commission of a ruling party. I also learned many things in this short period of time. Yeah, if you give me an assignment, I'll write something better. Brother, I'm glad. Thank you very much. The engagement was very good. May I thank you and let me adjourn the seat in favor of our chair in another chair in another committee. Thank you very much, Gore.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't know who's going to do the presentation between the two of you. Okay, you can continue.
Good morning, honorable members. Morning, members. The strategic plan that we've placed before the committee is still in the discussion document phase. We didn't want to table something that was too comprehensive, but didn't have members' input into it. So what we have is a draft document. And we've taken it from the National Council of Provinces strategic framework plan, and that aims to guide select committees in the political mandate of the NCOP. The framework aims to maximize the impact of committees in realizing the mandate of Parliament. So keeping that in mind, we've taken the vision of Parliament, which is to build an effective people's Parliament that is responsive to the needs of the people and that is driven by the ideal of realizing a better quality of life for all in South Africa. And just constitutionally, the Select Committee being a representative of the people's Parliament, it therefore strives to transform society by establishing and monitoring norms, provide a national forum for public consideration of provincial issues, cooperates with other spheres of government as it entrenches and deepens democratic values, and lays the foundation to work with continental and international bodies. It also passes effective legislation aimed at improving governance, scrutinizes and oversees executive action, and improves the quality of life of all the people of Africa. Based on the developmental plan from the NCOP, they developed strategic objectives, which is to promote provincial interests and adherence by the three spheres of government to the principles of cooperative governance and intergovernmental relations, to follow up on the implementation of government priorities as identified in the three spheres, to enhance public participation programs through educating the people, especially in rural villages, and creating forums for public consideration, and to initiate and implement programs aimed at assisting the vulnerable groups in society by ensuring that the NCOP plays its role towards building a parliament that is responsive to the needs of the electorate. So these institutional objectives therefore influence the work of the Select Committee going forward. And it is with this in mind that the Select Committee will develop a strategic plan to guide the work and activities of the committee to achieve its constitutional and political mandate. We've also taken in mind the executive strategic objectives that have a direct bearing on the committee. And these are specifically Strategic Priority 6, which is to intensify the fight against crime and corruption, and Strategic Priority 7, which is to build cohesive, caring, and sustainable communities. We felt that this should be included since the community police forums are an essential part of building cohesive, caring, and sustainable communities. In terms of the overview of the Select Committee, we have the Department of Police, Correctional Services and its entities, Justice and Constitutional Development and its entities, and the Defence and Military Veterans and the Independent Complaints Directorate reporting to it. Constitutionally, the mandate of the Select Committee is to scrutinize and pass legislation, oversee government action, facilitate public involvement in Parliament's processes, promote cooperative governance and international participation, consider international agreements, consider the budget of departments, monitor the implementation of legislation, enhance and capacitate members' knowledge base, and then we've included the SONA priorities, which has a direct bearing on the strategic priorities of departments. And taking from the 2011 SONA priorities, these focus on job creation, taking forward the fight against crime. The President has indicated that this needs to be a priority. Continuing to improve the capacity and effectiveness of the police, in particular the detective services, forensic analysts, and crime intelligence. Progress in reducing the proliferation of illegal and legal firearms. Courts to function better and reducing the backlog of programs at district and regional level. Prioritize crimes against women and children and to provide support through the Tutu Zela care centers. And work with communities and other key stakeholders to deal with drug peddling, drug abuse, which are tearing some communities apart. Taking all this together, we've developed, in terms of our core objectives, and the researcher will elaborate more on these as we go along. Number one is to scrutinize and pass legislation. And for our strategic objective, it would be to scrutinize and pass. And then the intended goals would be to inform scrutiny of legislation amendments, and the measurable output would be to have research conducted, presented, and a department to brief. Another point is to facilitate the passage of legislation. A measurable output would be the legislation passed, that should be timeously, and legislation amended. And then another goal would be promoting public participation through provincial hearings. We've tried to incorporate participation of the public into most of our core strategic objectives because putting it on its own, we tend to lose focus of promoting public participation. and specifically in terms of passing legislation, we've indicated Section 76 timeframes that have to be communicated timelessly to provinces. On 4.2, we oversee government action. Our goals are briefing by departments on strategic plans, monitoring of implementation of strategic plans, and promoting public participation. And the briefing by departments, it would be the briefings held in Parliament, provincial oversight visits conducted, and then also promoting public participation would be engaging community police forums on police oversight, engaging communities on access to justice, and receiving submissions from interest groups, civil society organizations, community-based organizations, and non-governmental organizations. Under number 3, promote cooperative governance and international participation. Our intended goal is the promotion of concurrent competencies with regard to Sections 205 to 208 of the Constitution. These relate to specifically to the police and police services, promoting public debate on these intended goals, and the responsibility would be the members of the committee and administrative staff. And then also we've indicated attending international and regional security conferences, specifically to strengthen my own capacity in terms of what's happening within the SADC region and internationally. To consider international agreements referred to the committee, basically it's a constitutional obligation of Parliament to pass and assist the government with its international obligations under Section 231. And it's a very simple matter of just passing of international agreements. But in terms of that, we also need good research done so that we can be informed of what the impact is in terms of monetary value to the country. And also consider the budget of departments in portfolio. We ensure the departments are adequately funded and able to fulfill their constitutional mandate. The measurable outputs would be to receive analysis and scrutinize departmental budget audits, briefings on annual and quarterly performance reports. And the time frame for this is yearly and quarterly. Also, we've indicated that we need to receive audited general briefings on audits, specifically with departments that have not been doing very well for a few financial years, and then to also promote public participation by receiving written and oral submissions on departmental performance within the provinces. 4.6, to monitor the implementation of legislation. Specifically, the intended goal is to oversee government's implementation of legislation. And these would be, for instance, the Civilian Secretariat Bill that was recently passed, the Independent Police Investigative Directorate that was recently passed, and the Child Justice Act implementation. These will all be incorporated into our oversight responsibilities when we go on provincial visits. And then the oversight visits will determine the extent of the implementation. 4.7, enhancing and capacitating members' knowledge base. Our intended goal is to capacitate members to perform more effectively. One of the measurable outputs would be the attendance at security conferences and conducting international study visits twice in the 5-year term. Members will indicate the preference in terms of developed and developing nations. And then we have the SONA priorities, which is the monitoring of SONA priorities. And the intended goal is to ensure compliance by departments to implement. And in terms of the measurable outputs would be during the budget briefings, the oversight visits, the quarterly reports, and through public participation, we will be able to measure how government is actually doing in compliance with it. These are the strategic objectives, and we as I said before, it's a broad framework so that we can input into that. And when we have the workshop on with all the departments present in terms of their strategic priorities, which will be in the next term, we'll be able to develop our business plan for 2011 and drill down into more specific areas. And over to Patricia.
Good morning, members. Thank you. I'm just handing out also a draft what we Gertrude and I have spoken about earlier on is just to have a general idea of what we can combine from both documents into one comprehensive document, because I've also looked at the broad strategic goals of the NCOP, the strat plan, and I've outlined them in terms of core objectives. And what we will then do is to take these broad strategic goals and the ones that Gershon has done, and then break them down further in terms of our activities when we come to the departments. Just going through that document, there's just a little bit more detail on the departments on page 2, talking about the manner of the document, but just generally, it's just a little bit more detail on the departments that report and the entities that report to the committee. For instance, we have the National Prosecuting Authority that also reports under the Department of Justice to the committee, and then there's also the Master's Office and the Magistrates Commission. The committee knows that we receive reports from time to time about magistrates that have been suspended that the committee must consider. Special Investigating Unit, the Legal Aid Board, those entities, and then for defense as well, we have the National Conventional Arms Control Committee, as well as the Castle Management Board. But what I would like to do is just to go through on page 7 of the document, just to look at the core objectives. Some of them you will already have heard in terms of what Gershon has presented in these are just taken in terms of what the strategic plan outlines are the broader objectives of the NCOP and how these must find expression in the objectives of the committee. For instance, one of the objectives, core objective number one, is to give input from provinces into the budget review recommendation report on departments, budget votes for consideration by the departments and National Treasury. In the past, if members can remember last year, for instance, there was a question when we consider the annual reports and the budgets, what is the committee's role? Is it a report or is it something that will be considered in the House that the committee must make a decision on? So in terms of the new budget processes, it actually clarifies that the committee must give an input into that final report done by the Appropriations Committee, and the provincial interest will then find expression through that. And that is something that the committee will have to also keep focus on in this coming budget cycle. The second one was obviously the consideration of legislation after referral by the NA. Third objective, facilitate provincial input into the legislative and budget process. Facilitate core objective number 4, facilitate public participation in legislative and budget processes. We've heard about the considering the budget, annual reports, strategic and annual performance plans of departments within a set time frames. Core objective number 6 in terms of this document is interact with the departments on their core mandates as part of the committee's oversight work, and that goes for the entities as well. Number 7, oversight visits to facilities of departments. Core objective number 8 is something that I've noticed from the strat plan of the NCOP, is the issue on providing feedback to communities visited in line with NCOP core objectives. And that could also be places and institutions that the committee itself has visited on as part of the oversight activities. Core objective number 9, prioritize implementation and initiation aimed at assisting vulnerable groups. Number 10, prioritize fight against crime by focusing on contact crime and violence against women and children. And these are also overlapping issues in terms of our normal oversight over departments, instance justice, correctional services, and police. The same with number 11, which is victim support programs. Number 12 is something that was in the NTOP strat plan. Substance abuse and crime, which is also an issue that was raised in the State of the Nation address. And then number 13, strengthening community involvement in fighting crime, including through community police forums. And I think added to that should be the broader policing forum, the sector policing forum. Number 14, strengthen relationship with the provincial legislature. I think one of the issues that was raised in that report was the fact that the programs of the legislature and the NTOP are sometimes very tied to try and accommodate the different activities that must take place and the time frames. So that strengthening will hopefully assist with synchronizing programs. Same for number 15 as far as the programming between the National Assembly and the NCOP is concerned. And I think for the committee, one of the issues that need to be considered is that to facilitate joint meetings where possible between the NA committee and the NCOP committee, especially when it comes to legislation where there are certain parts of that processes that can be accommodated through joint sessions, then that will also assist in the time that it will take to finalize, for instance, legislation. Number 16, strengthen ties with civil society organizations. Number 17, track responses to select committee recommendations, resolutions, motions, etc. That is also, I think, something that we, the committee will have to look at, especially to track and follow up on issues that were raised with departments and see how they were addressed, for instance, when they come to report on the budgets and the annual financial statements. Number 18 is something that was written in the interview report. Oversight work to be informed by evidence-based research. I'm not quite sure what that entails, but as far as I know for our oversight visits that we've done to different provinces, what I've tried to do from the research side is to do provincial profiles and to really find out where are the problematic areas so that the committee could be informed of where those areas are, and before we went to the provinces, so that was also assist in our interaction with departments. Number 19 was develop performance indicators for measuring impact of oversight work. I think I'm not exactly sure how we, if that is something that has been done by the committee itself, or if that is something that will be if the NCOP as a house will give some guidance as far as developing that indicators are concerned, Chairperson. Number 20 was improved planning and coordination of the work of government across all three spheres, and the last one was follow up on implementation of government priorities. And these, some of these core objectives, members will note, obviously, it's part of the functions already in terms of the committee's oversight work over departments where those issues are addressed. I'm not going to go through the next part, but what we would like to do is to use Gershwin's document in terms of how he has set out the strategic objectives, and the plan is then to also for each department and the entities to break down the committee activities and put objectives to that and time frames. bearing in mind the core objectives that was stated in the NCOP document. I just wanted to elaborate on some of the strategic objectives that was that Gershwin had presented on on 4.2 of Gershwin's document, Oversee Government Actions. I think what we can add at the first part, the intended goal, is not only to look at the strategic plans, but also the budgets and the annual financial statements. What I've learned from for instance, the ICD budget, the approach that the Portfolio Committee on Police has done is to link all the documents. For instance, when they present on the budget, we have an overview of the spending in the previous financial year up to the latest date for which information is available, and also to link that with issues that was raised by the committee in terms of the annual reporting, the previous budget, the Auditor General report. And then look at that in terms of the government's approach now with the outcomes and functional areas with which the budget must be applied. And then to look at the budget, the spending, and where the money is going to go with that in mind. So what that actually for me means is that the departments, when they come to present on the budget, they can also report on their performance. They can also report on their strategic plans because all the processes are linked, and departments also know that they, when they compile their budgets, that they must link all that that plans. It must find reflection in the budget. So it's not restricted to a particular time frame. So even if the committee finds later in the year that the committee wants to have, for instance, if they brief us now on the budget, they can also brief us on their performance in terms of the annual reports. So it doesn't have to be separate processes. And that is something that maybe will assist the committee when we have to do oversight over them, but maybe due to time constraints, we are not able to consider the annual report at the time when they normally present annual reports. But we can still get an input on those processes when they consider the budgets. And with the measurable outputs, I think last year one of the issues that was raised was that when departments come and present, for instance, on their budgets and the annual report, they must give a provincial focus and not just give the national overview that they've done in the National Assembly, but when they come to the select committee, they must come with a provincial input and a provincial focus, because if one looks at what the strategic plan of the NCOP is, they want to see that the provincial interests are promoted in that focus area. The partners understand that when they come to this house, they must get a provincial focus in terms of their activities, the budgets, and the plans. And then under this, overseeing government action will also be the issue of monitoring service delivery issues and raising those issues with the departments. Then on 4.4, on page 7 of Gershwin's document, consider international agreements referred to the committee. Members will remember that one of the issues that were raised with departments sometimes is that by the time they come to the committee with the report that the committee must consider, it's always at the last end. I think the committee has issued that, you know, Parliament needs to be better informed about when the process starts and not just when the committee has to approve the international agreement without really having had insight into it. I've done with another colleague in the research unit, we've done a report on the outstanding agreements that are administered by the Department of Justice. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to forward that report to members of the committee. And I think included under this strategic objective should be to follow up on outstanding agreements, because we find that they concluded an agreement with the bigger bodies like the African Union and the United Nations, but there's no follow-up on what's happening after that, because one of the processes that must happen is that legislation must be passed, domestic legislation must be passed to give effect to that agreement, and often we find that years pass after the agreement was signed originally, many years before, and then only now or years after that you see that the legislation comes through Parliament. So we need to follow up with the department to find out what are the time frames in terms of agreements that have already been signed but where domestic legislation has not been passed. On 4.7, enhancing and capacitating members' knowledge base. I don't know if the committee would, for instance, want briefings by members from the research unit or myself on any number of issues that might affect the committee, that the committee feel that they need more information on. I've said to Gershon, for instance, when we do budgets and annual reports, what we normally do, we do analysis of those documents before the time, and I can even request my colleagues in the portfolio committees to come and do the presentations on the budget that they've presented. So that it's a resource that is available to the committee, so we need to maybe in our programming look at how we can fit that in before the departments come to present their budget, that we can have that kind of input from the researchers. So that is one of the areas that maybe the committee would want to consider adding. On the SONA priorities, 4.8, the job creation part, in our cluster, we're not necessarily going to have the issue of job creation, but what National Treasury has indicated to us in our recent workshop that we had with them was that we're going to look at the filling of vacancies. The president has raised it as an issue in the State of the Nation, they have to look at the filling of vacancies within a reasonable time, and they have to look at the staff ratio. What we find, for instance, with the ICD is that they have a lot of administrative staff. They're appointing staff, but in the support functions and not in the core functions. So the staff ratio is one of the issues that we're going to have to look at in terms of the department's budget especially. And then look at the staff retention strategies and the employment equity profiling of departments. So those are the broader issues, Chairperson. Obviously, we would have liked to have more time to come up with the final draft. And what we can do is, following this meeting, is to take the, like I said, the input from both plans and put it together in a comprehensive plan with the breakdown of the departments and entities that report to the committee and put activities to that with outputs and timeframes. And we'd like to hear the committee's responses to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable member, you can input on the presentation. Honorable Zeman.
Thank you, Chair. I was thinking there used to be a song, Chair, that says, Jeruga's song, that says, it was a Friday, you know, when I was listening to this presentation, thinking of the previous one, I'm not too sure whether we will come out alive at some point, Chair. I think also, Chair, we welcome this presentation. It's also got technicalities in terms of how we would strategically perform our work, and I think it's quite a document as well. 4.2, I think. I like that part when the you see, Chair, we are preparing Parliament to start taking to have a critical and a significant role on the budget processes. We know that the indications are then that Parliament would have the Budget Office, and we have amended the legislation in that regard, where Parliament itself would be able to say yay or nay to some of the aspects of the budget. Hence, I'm saying, Chair, I would really would like to see this aspect. In fact, even for our operational plan, that after July, August, September, there is that cycle now of the PRR. I think also these our committees are expected to perform activities around the BRR process. So, which is the budget review report, and I think Patricia has reflected upon that one. Also, Chair, the point that she's making about, you know, the report on the outstanding research, outstanding agreements. It's also very critical for us to participate on to have that report, so we are able to put pressure on the department to brief us. But also, you know, South Africa is also badly reputed now within the UN and African Union system, that we are very quick and easy signatories to some of these things, but when it comes to our own, which then refers to how we perform our oversight, when it comes to implementation of the content of what we are agreeing to, sometimes we are find lacking to an extent where our reports are always cooked at the last moment to these systems, to these instruments. So I think it's quite strategic for Parliament, because we do endorse and ratify these agreements as Parliament, that we really, really need to take this one, this area quite seriously. It's quite strategic for us, Chair. Then the third aspect relates to, you know, what I was thinking, what was going through my mind as the presentation was being done, Chair. You know, the issue of the concurrency with provinces, and I think this presentation is also trying to really put an emphasis on the role of us in mounting the provincial national interest, you know, provincial national interest, which is the mandate of the NCOP. We have in this cluster of the peace and security cluster, our select committee, for instance, we have a number of these departments that don't have quite high level a representation in the provinces because they are taken as national departments. But there are serious problems, service delivery problems. For instance, we haven't seen the past 2 years, we haven't seen provincial commissioners, for instance, of correctional services. I know police, they do try when they do presentations, for instance, they do bring almost all the provincial commissioners, for instance. And I think likewise here, we do need to hear from the provincial commissioner, say, of correctional services. And Chairperson, also, I'm not too sure, I hope that in the previous, with DPSA, Chair, I keep referring to that one because, the Justice Department, for instance, in the provinces, you would find that is meant in the past. I don't know now what's the status. It might be so interesting to know as to the interest of the national department, like justice in the province, is represented by what? In the past, it used to be just a provincial deputy director, and we know what it means in terms of the ranking in the civil service or public service. If you are a deputy director, you don't even attend the management meetings, the senior management meetings. Now, I don't know what is the status now. It would be quite interesting when we do oversight to check, you know, who are the heads of the justice, at what level are they appointed? Are they so do they participate, for instance, do they attend MINMEC meetings, or so that we manage the service delivery issues within provinces, Chair, so that you are also able to create a platform for them to bring matters, even if it's to, of course we do understand that they do bring the matters because they report to the national management of the department as such, but it used to be just deputy directors, for instance, of the Justice Department. I don't know now what is the current status. Also, Chairperson, I know they speak about entities. You know, there's also the Chapter 9 institutions that I'm not too sure if we've interacted enough with them. We're not playing oversight because they are Chapter 9 and 10, the Public Service Commission, your human rights and all that, including the Public Protector. I do think, Chair, that it is very important for us for service delivery, from a service delivery point of view, because, for instance, we discovered with the ICD when we were on oversight that in some provinces, even the way they've decided as national management to establish their existence and to offer, to render services, is so skewed that they have one office with 7 people for the whole province. You take Northern Cape example, for instance, on ICD. So it becomes quite important that we do get the provincial picture in as far as how this including the chapter, these commissions I'm talking about, the chapter 9s and 10, because you find that they just say a commissioner without resources, no, you're in charge of 3 provinces because it's 5 commissioners and 2 part-time commissioners and all that. So that we do engage and participate in helping increasing the budget, playing oversight together with them as they are our strategic partners. I think we would have to list them as our strategic partners in as far as the strategic plan is concerned, Chair. And then hoping that we will fuse the 2 documents as they are proposing, I think I concur, Chair, with the process that we would then have on what Geshon has presented and what Patricia also presented, the core strategic objectives. It does require that we put them together in a document, and perhaps the final document that then indicates a bit of the flesh matters that relates to the content of our activities. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, thanks very much, Louis. Honorable Matila.
I think I also want to welcome the both documents. I think it is important for them to be brought together. But whilst doing that, in terms of the operational plan and our quarterly programs, you know, those specific issues must speak to it. I think it is important that the sooner we are provided with particularly around annual reports, the research she's talking about, you know, from her colleagues. I think that is going to be important for us to can engage in line with the new processes that are unfolding within Parliament. You know, that we are able to can say, come this period, we're able to can say this department is performing badly, these are the issues. But also, how do we create space for provincial inputs? Because I think it is important for us also to consult with provinces so that they can then indicate weaknesses, advantages, and issues they think are important for those specific provinces. I'm saying broadly within the operational plan in particular, is how do we create that space, how do we deal with that situation. But lastly, I concur with what Louis has said a lot, a mouthful, and I agree with him. And the best way is to then see the draft, the second draft document that brings those documents together and deals with those specific issues so that we can then move forward. That's the point I wanted to reach.
Thank you very much. No. Thank you, Chair. Mine is on the issue of the study tour. Because when I compare COCT and this committee, I see this committee as strategically placed to be playing a role in terms of security matters in Africa and in Europe. You can't avoid that. You can even see the way we're talking about the international agreement last year. But how do we make sure that this committee, not the official, can answer that? How do we, you know, put into the plan our concern, precisely because I believe this committee is not supposed to be getting kneeling down for permission to go out. You know, with COCTA, maybe they will say your municipality is inside. Yeah? We can kneel down, but I don't believe this committee is supposed to be treated that way. And why it's supposed to be going out for a very important security matters to understand even those agreements better with the countries that sign with South Africa. The visits are always turned down. I don't know how can we put it in the plan so that it's part of the concern of the committee. You know? I think Brian Miss is not about the other issue, but this committee. Yeah, it's supposed to even be allowed to go and see how are the building of United Nations Security Council. This committee is well placed to do that. But I don't know how we can put it as part of the plan, so that its objectives of such matters, you know, are realized. But somehow you must get a good English and then be part of our concern. I don't know, but it should be part of the oversight role internationally so that we learn the best practice, you know. Yeah, with COCTA, pursue it the other way, but this one, I don't understand. Hello, Minister.
Everything I must agree with that. I must apologize to have been out for some time now. I've got a security matter that I had to address. It was important that I address it. I've got a problem. My driver is sick, so he's not here. So that's what we're sorting out. I'm worried that I didn't listen too much, but I was happy because I was there, part of the inputs that were given, and I'm comfortable with almost everything that I've heard then. But there's one thing. I agree to the person with what you're saying. I'm not going to comment any further on what you're saying. I fully agree. It's not like Cocta. Cocta was supposed to focus at home. But I wanted to raise a point here with me. I want to bring it to the attention of the committee. I've got letters here, structures and complaints by the police from friends down in the Eastern Cape. And then I said, I'll take this to the committee because I knew we've got this. But these matters, they relate to transformation in the security forces. Now, I want to check with the committee, how best can we ensure that the department, when we deal with these issues, the department at least shows us clearly exactly how they have managed in terms of transforming the security force. Because if you look in whatever I'm seeing in the whole Eastern Cape, you go to the Eastern Cape as an example, or even here when they come here nationally, you'll see their dog management. All of them are, they might be black, colored, Indians, all of them. And what you'll realize is that in terms of instructions and other things, theirs is only to sign. That's signing tests and whatever, mandating these people to do. But the middle management, we're supposed to be doing the exact things. For instance, when I had the complaint from this guy, remember there was a question that we asked when we were in the Eastern Cape about that guy which was killed, Thembile Bed. And now, when I was asking to this guy, but why the Eastern Cape, the police in the Eastern Cape are unable to get even a clue? I think they hear something now, what happened to this guy? There are many, it's not only him. And then you'll find that if you look at their structure and the way they are changing the police, they are rotating them. Somehow you might realize that the reason why some of the cases are unable to be completed, they are unable to complete them, it is because of these top-end changes that they are doing. But then, this is an assumption based on what I've seen here, what they've given me, and what they've been explaining to me, some of them, because they are complaining. Then I said, we need to talk about it as a committee, but I wanted to check with us. Is there nothing that we can do to push the department, at least to present to us the structure, and show us in terms of the transformation agenda? You see, this thing of transforming faces, I don't think it helps. But transforming in terms of managing the affairs, security affairs of the country, I mean South Africa and Africa. Jefferson, I don't want to talk deeper, to go deeper to this thing, because I don't want to say words that I would love to, or I'll regret them tomorrow. But the issue is, I want the committee maybe to find a way to look and to talk to the department and ourselves too, when maybe we've got this oversight season, even in the Eastern Cape and even other areas. Because it's not only about the Eastern Cape, in fact. Nationally, I think the same problem. The problem is the same. The problem is the same because you change phases, and on the other hand, you find that the real transformation is not happening. I think that is the bottom line that I want to raise in terms of transformation. And there, I'll raise other issues when we are discussing. Because I think the security forces of this country, somehow you've got, you still have very serious problems. Very, very serious problems, because some of other things are not happening and you don't know why they are not happening. And even the transformation itself is not happening. It is so unfortunate because we might be talking about, we want black people to be there or want people who've got experience of struggle. I'm telling you, in the Eastern Cape, the top structure there, I know those people, all of them on the top structure. Some of them are from exile, most of them are from the ANC, but they are not doing what the ANC wants. They are not doing what the community wants. They are not transforming the society. So you don't know why. I mean, so I think maybe the committee, the interpreter, let me know, because I don't want to say this thing that I don't want to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think Gershwin and Patricia have had the input from members. But while listening, there are two issues which I think are most important to the committee, and they must reflect on our program of action. Our relationship with the provinces. I think members will also remember that we had a very uncomfortable incident with the two bills that we passed. When we had to go for mediation, and we were not afforded the opportunity to interact with the provinces regarding those amendments. I think it is necessary that as we represent the provinces here, our interaction with the provinces should also reflect that. And I also want to know if maybe you can go and inquire on our behalf about this teleconferencing device. One of the workshops we attended, it was reported that the reason that it is not functioning, it is because some of the provinces don't have it, but other provinces have it. So if you can check how many provinces have it, especially when we deal with legislation, so that our communication and interaction with the provinces is effective. The second point is the visibility of the committee to provinces. I think if I remember well, the only visit we have since 2009 are three visits to the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Gauteng when we met with the Magistrate Commission. And it is only when we meet with these provincial structures that we get the gist of what is happening in the provinces, which is totally different from what the department present to the committee. So I think our program should mainly deal with our oversight to the provinces, to correctional centers to check the overcrowding, to the courts to check the backlogs of the cases, and to the police stations to check the allocation of resources, especially to the rural areas and the rural safety, and to some of the military barracks to see. There was this commission report about the state of affairs in the army. I think we also have to reflect on that as the committee. I don't know how long it's going to take you to consolidate those two presentations and make them into one. But I think the sooner you complete and bring two members to reflect and scrutinize, it will assist us. I don't know whether there are any inputs from members before with Honorable Mokhobi and Honorable Nzimande.
I have just very, very small input to make. I'm not sure whether it can be strategic plan-wise or it can be an aspect that can be taken with the briefing on the intake of new recruits, of police, seems to, in some areas, to be taken tribal or ethnic by. How do we make an oversight of it? We should just to check how does who does that? Is it the regional commissioners or is it such a thing or is it station commanders? So that we are able to go and get. In some areas, communities are really complex. You would find, I don't want to mention the type or the language, but that one language dominates, the other languages are not
recruited. Maybe because of a person that is in charge, but something like that was, if it can be noted, maybe we might have time to engage with the department, but also to go and make oversight on such area once they are identified. So how do you recruit? What numbers do you have? And all sorts of, let's get the structure of the new recruit. So it's like, if we're not doing this apartheid in a democracy, still brilliant, but not by the former, but by our own people that we deploy, that tend to exclude certain languages at the expense of other languages.
I think it will be necessary that we visit these training colleges so that we get enough information. Honorable Nzimande.
Thank you, Chair. The regional conferences and the international security conference, I think, Chair, it's just needed to emphasize that point, that we have to have a definitive action there. But also, Chair, in addition and related to that, is the briefing on there is Troika activities which deal with security and all that in SADC. We are chairing now the Peace and Security Council of the African Union, and I think it does warrant that somebody from the department come and present even the international cooperation. And I think they are the ones, and the Justice Department that would really have to present, and including the police, because we do participate internationally, and even matters on the international criminal court called? Yes, that court. We know that, for instance, there is an indication that it's only trying African leadership and all that. So it does become quite important that we get some kind of briefing, you know, and so that we are able to interact, offer advice, you know, to government in terms of how to handle these matters. Chair, the final point. There's quite a few of civil society. I'm not sure how correct they are, and I hope that correct is understood, Chair. How correct they are, but there's quite a number of security NGOs which are in the civil society, which have a lot of research work around security matters and a lot of documentation. Some of them are partners with the department. They do quite a number of work with the department. At some point, it would also be nice under the, you know, to get to give them a platform of participation with us. Others would, you know the old NICRO people. For prisoners, and there might be others, there's many others on security as well, general security. So it would be quite interesting to get also information from civil society's point of view, you see, Chair, because it becomes important. They just talk sometimes recklessly into the media on some of the issues and hype tensions unnecessarily. So because they don't have platforms to raise their issues, you know, that would also include your we don't even attend the anti-corruption conferences, Chair. They are there, so we need activities around that as well. The state party, there's this agency that came to present to us 2 weeks back on the state plan, but. So the relationship that we in the strategic partnership, it does become important that we also give civil society work to do. I know Patricia said she's not sure about decent work with this cluster. I think there is lots of work and employment plan that needs to be done from construction. I know it's public works, but I think our monitoring of the vacancies and the turnaround in vacancies, I would make a contribution to, you know, jobs and people getting jobs, because you keep vacancies and same people are unemployed, stay outside even if they do have qualifications for such jobs. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thanks for Simande. Patricia.
I just wanted to know from the committee, in terms of local oversight, I mean, at the moment there's one of the foremost issues in my mind on the escalating gang violence in some areas, where the police doesn't seem to be making any leeway. In Lavender Hill over the weekend there were 8 people shot. 3 were young boys of 15, shot at the same time, 5 people injured. And you go into the area and you don't see any police around. And the shootings have been increasing since last year. So how can the committee interact with the police on issues that are like pressing, where there needs to be some kind of intervention, and how do we present it?
Yeah, honorable members, I've noted you, honorable Nersi, honorable Matila. Our government invested a lot of money during FIFA World Cup regarding security issues. There was a lot of police visibility, and the criminal justice system was so effective that there were mobile courts and dedicated justice officials who dealt with those issues during that time. I think we have to request the department to give us a report and maybe go and visit some of those facilities to know why are they not being utilized now. Honorable Matila, Honorable Nese.
Okay, I think you covered some of the areas, but I think it is important, because some of these issues we might not know them. It is important that the committee coordinator immediately call and the research immediately contact the chair around specific issues, so that we can then deal with those specific issues. The chair can then coordinate. You know, if we have to meet with the police urgently, we have to do it. Can be part of a program. You know, we must give room for emergency, because this is a security matter. Thanks.
Honorable Matileza covered me, because I wanted to say that exactly. But especially here in the Western Cape, there are many things of these gangs and these shootings. And at times we seem to be quiet because we are not visible. I know it's not easy to just get into these areas here in the Western Cape. It's not easy. But Ndatemokobi can lead us to go there, because those are our people. They can't die. I was going to say, I trust him. Yeah. They are sympathies. I mean, I'm saying sympathies. Not taking away from getting this. They must lead us. But I'm saying, as Comrade Matila is saying, they must tell us where these areas are. If there are areas of emergency right now around the Western Cape, then the committee must tell us so that we can prepare to go there, and the police must go with us there. And they must tell us, the police, why they can't be effective in defending South Africans. Once we had the World Cup, everything was in place to defend people which don't belong here. I'm not saying people who don't belong here can't be, they must not be protected. But primarily, the most people that must be secured are South Africans in South Africa. And these resources that were there then, why they can't work now? Why they are not effective now? Why were we impressed in Europe? This is what I don't like. We can't keep on impressing Europeans and Europe here while South Africans are suffering. Because South Africans are getting disillusioned about this thing of crime. And we want to be trusted by the world whilst leaving our own people somewhere. I'm raising this thing deliberately because I want them to be known that we are saying, because people are crying. I mean, we can't just pretend as if things are normal, but I'm following fully on what Honorable Matile is saying. If there are any areas in the Western Cape where here, why should it be difficult for us to go there with the police? Because the police, if they are able to protect us when we are there, why they are unable to protect those people who are staying there? I mean, I don't think there must be no-go areas for us. And it's high time that this time we be visible. This is a very, very important time that we be visible. We go to the people, we talk to them. We enforce the department to do its work. I mean, the police must do their work.
I think Honorable Deshius reminded me of something that I always doesn't understand. That we have security, we have police, we have army, we have intelligence, we have all sorts of things that seeks to defend the vulnerable in this country. But when you watch yours, there is this thing. Who's this lady? Deborah Patton?
Deborah
Patton. Why is she able to confront difficult situations? You know, she would go and unearth criminal issues deep in our community. But we are afraid to go as police. I'm sure you could see sometimes even when they try to resist, she would go. One person is unable to unearth all those things and reveal to the world what's happening. Should even go to where this helps out smoke drugs, you know, solve them, what? They don't appreciate, not the police. But we see that. Why don't we get that evidence and we'll confront that situation? Who gives them this right and all stuff? Are we considering that as a film? Is it a movie? I don't understand. See, if that person can do that and unearth all these criminal activities that are happening, from rape to drugs to whatever haste, but we don't use that information and make follow-up to sort of deal with that thing. I think these are some of the things that the department must explain. Or are they not watching the TV, especially those who are in charge, commanders, these things? I think the department must explain when we meet. It might not be part of the sanctuary, but it just came when Honorable Nation raised this thing to say, but there's something that we are failing our society, as you are saying, like what you say. We need to confront these things. I think the committee must indeed change our strategy, our approach. Somehow we need to go down with the police, of course. Alone we can't go. If you bring the police, I'll lead with you.
I wish
you
thanks, Honourable Member. Patricia, if you can maybe identify that area you are referring to. And I don't know what is the program of the committee for next week. We are here. Some of the things we have to attend to them immediately. I think you can make that application so that we go and visit that area and meet with the police. Unannounced. Yes. For next week. Other than that, Honourable Members, I think we have heard each other speaking, and I think we have a common understanding and a common approach with regards to both presentations from COCTA and the security cluster. And we hope that we will move as one in ensuring that we make these committees effective. And I think this brings us to an end of the meeting. Thank you very much, Honourable Members.
Better sure, but bad.
Usanu say nine o'clock what is meeting on Hollywood.
I read the document on my